Let's turn to the book of Philemon in the New Testament, please. Book of Philemon. Chapter 1. All right, four of you got that. That makes me nervous. I'm sure you did, John. I'm sure you did. All right, everybody have it? Philemon. All right, if you'll look down, please, to verse 24. Verse 24. Verse 24 says, well, let's go back and get verse 23 so you get the whole gist here. In verse 23, Paul says, there salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. Verse 24, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. I want to speak to you this morning on this subject, Paul's four companions. So leave your Bible open, and we're going to look at a couple of other passages to support what I want to say to you this morning, but keep your Bible open here to Philemon 24, and let's pray and then the message. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the music. Thank you for Gabriel's song about how wonderful and majestic our Savior is. And Father, thank you that we can stand up here now in from behind this pulpit, open the Bible, and proclaim what thus saith the Lord. And Father, thank you for the freedoms that we have still in this country. And Father, I pray that you will bless your word today. I pray that there will be something here that we can identify with. One of these men we can identify with. And Father, I pray that it'll challenge our hearts to want to be a better servant for you. And so, Father, bless now. We'll give you the praise and glory for all that's accomplished. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, this little book of Philemon was written by the Apostle Paul while he was in prison. This is one of Paul's, what they call his prison epistles. Now, as you are fully aware, these epistles that were written by the Apostle Paul are most instructive from beginning to end. And even this little book of Philemon is a book that has several lessons that we are to glean as we read it. In this letter, Paul speaks of a fellow. Look at verse 10. Paul speaks of a fellow here by the name of Onesimus. Onesimus in verse 10. And Paul said, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. Now, he uses the terminology of adopting someone into his family. He calls him his son, but that's not what happened here. What happened here was Onesimus got saved while Paul was in prison. He led him to the Lord in prison. Now, I'll give you a little bit more detail about this fella, Onesimus. But notice here, it says in verse 11, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. And so you say, well, Pastor, what was the story with this fellow? Well, Onesimus was a servant, a slave, and was owned by Philemon. And when Paul was on one of his missionary trips, he got to know Philemon, and he and Philemon became friends, and Onesimus was a servant in Philemon's house. All right, so Paul knew Philemon. He knew it, and he knew Onesimus. He knew him from a past relationship with and friendship with Philemon. So Onesimus was known by Paul. But evidently, Onesimus had run away from Philemon. He just took off and went to Rome, where Paul was held in prison. And somehow or another, we don't know how, but somehow or another, Paul ran into Onesimus and was able to lead him to the Lord. And now Paul is writing this letter to Philemon, and of all people, he is giving that letter to Onesimus to take back to Philemon, the man that he ran away from many years earlier, a few years earlier. Now, that's amazing, isn't it? And now look down at verse 12. He said, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him. That is mine own bowels, my heart, my friend, my dear friend, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. In other words, he left you, but now by divine appointment, I have run into him. I have led him to Christ, and now I'm sending him back to you so that he can be a servant and profitable to you. I'd like to keep him here with me, but he said, he is not my servant, he's yours. So I am sending him to you. And he says, here's what I want you to do. Look at verse 16. He said, not now as a servant, I want you to receive him, but not as a servant, above a servant. I want you to receive him above a servant. Oh, yeah, what's that mean? I want you to receive him as a brother. Free him from his enslavement. Free him. Whatever he owes you, forget about it. Forget about it. And I want you to accept him, and he will be profitable to you. So that was the whole idea of writing this book. And what a beautiful picture this is. I mean, this is a picture. You know, we're all sinners, right? I don't think there's any argument about that. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. We're all sinners. All right? But here's what we learn. When we, as a sinner, come to the Lord Jesus, he takes our place in death. All right? We are now redeemed. We have been bought with a price. And that price is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Lord can say to God the Father, Here is my son. Here is my son. I'm giving him to you. Don't hold him accountable. You put his sin on me. Hold me accountable for his sin. And that's exactly what God did. Jesus took your sin and my sin, and Jesus paid the redemptive price. Isn't that amazing? And so right here it was in picture form. And so evidently Onesimus ran away and then by divine appointment ran into the Apostle Paul and was born again through Paul's ministry. And now Paul writes this letter to Philemon asking him to take Onesimus back and receive him, but not as a slave. Receive him as a friend. Set him free. Folks, that's the way we are. We have been set free. You remember what the Lord Jesus said? He said that the truth will make you free. All right? You ever wonder what that means? The truth will make you free? Free to do what? Well, here's what it makes you free to be able to do, to live for the Lord. You're no longer chained by sin and by the devil. You're no longer held down. You're no longer have a foot across your neck holding you down so you can't do anything for God. No, you've been set free. And now we can live for the Lord. So the truth will set you free. All right? And that's what the gospel does. It sets us free. So Paul is asking Philemon to free Onesimus and let him be a free man. Now, look at verse 23. Here's another person. We have Epaphras. And Paul tells us that Epaphras was a fellow prisoner. But now, what I want us to focus on is verse 24. All right? Verse 24, and notice Paul mentions four men. Four fellow prisoners, four fellow servants. And notice their names. We have Marcus, we have Aristarchus, we have Demas, and we have Lucas. And Paul identifies all four of these guys as fellow laborers. All right? Now, you say, you got 4 points, we're going to be here all day. No, not quite. I got two, but I'm going to try and get it done. Let me say it that way, all right? First, notice with me the work. The work. We see the work here. In verse 24, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, here's the work. They were Paul's fellow laborers. In other words, what Paul was into, they were into. Now, we know what Paul was into, don't we? Yeah, he was a preacher of righteousness. We know what Paul was up to. And so to be lumped into the same group with the Apostle Paul, well, that would have been an absolutely tremendous mark on your record. To be identified in the same group with the Apostle Paul. So notice how Paul simply refers to these men as his fellow laborers. He calls out their names to Philemon and then simply identifies them as his fellow laborers. Now, folks, wouldn't you want for Paul to identify you as one of his fellow laborers? Wouldn't that have been something? I mean, just to have Paul say to someone else that you are a fellow laborer. Wow, that would have been quite a badge of honor, wouldn't it? So let me suggest two thoughts here, which I think speak well of each of these four men mentioned in the verse. All right, first, the fellow labor. Fellow labor. What is a fellow labor? Well, the first word that I am thinking of is the word associates. Associates. These four were associated with the Apostle Paul. They were not ashamed to be identified in the same sentence with the Apostle Paul. These guys up here on the platform, they may not want to admit it, but each one of them is associated with me. All right? They are associated with me. And you will notice, I think, in your bulletin, I don't know if it says this or not. I'm taking for granted that it does. But, on the top, it says, we are glad you are with us today. And then it has my name, and I'm the senior pastor. Well, I wasn't always the senior. I was the pastor, but I wasn't always the senior. All right? But anyway, that's another story. And then it says, Reverend Joshua Belcher, Dr. Rick Holbrook, Dr. Todd Comstock Sr., Dr. Ray Shutt, Reverend Brian Young, and Reverend Lewis Howe, and Reverend Jonathan Overbeck. All right, now, these guys are associated with me. All right, and whether they like it or not, they are associated with me. I'm the pastor, and they are in the ministry here to help me. I can't do everything that there is to do in this church. All right? I can't be two places at one time. I cannot do all the hospital visitation and then take care of the Super 60s and then monitor the youth group. And I just can't do everything. So what we do is we have a pastor, that's me. And then we have associates. They are associates with me. And that's how these men identified with the Apostle Paul. Paul was the apostle. He was the one called of God. The Lord Jesus called him on the road to Damascus. And you remember in chapter 1 of Acts, they decided they were going to replace Judas. Well, nobody told them to replace Judas. They just took it upon themselves, hey, we need to replace Judas. Well, how did the other 11 get into the ministry with the Lord Jesus? Well, the Lord chose them, right? So wouldn't it have been best if they would have just sat back and let the Lord choose who would take Judas's place? Sure it would, but that's not what they did. They did what probably 99% of us would have done. They just said, oh, we're going to help God out here. Well, first of all, God doesn't need any help. All right, he knows what he's doing. And so they got ahead of God by putting Matthias in there. And by the way, after the first chapter in the book of Acts where Matthias is mentioned, he is never mentioned again anywhere in the Bible. That was it right there. And yet they were the ones that decided they needed to replace Judas. Well, the Lord did not want Matthias to be the next apostle. He wanted Paul to be the next apostle. All right, so that's how that worked. So that is what a fellow laborer actually is. A fellow laborer actually is an associate. And these men were companions of the Apostle Paul. Again, what a wonderful blessing to be identified with the Apostle Paul. Can you imagine being able to say to someone, hey man, it's good to see you. I haven't seen you in forever. Come here, I want to introduce you to my good friend, the Apostle Paul. Wow, that would have been awesome. Well, Paul, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. These men were identifying with Paul, but in the same breath, they were identifying with the Lord Jesus, because it was the Lord Jesus who called the Apostle Paul. All right, so realize, folks, these were real people. I mean, Marcus and Aristarchus and Demas and Lucas, these were all real people. We kind of think, they were, supermen. No, they weren't. No, they weren't. They were sinners saved by grace. They put their britches on one leg at a time, just like we do. All right, so to be identified, though, wow, with Paul, what a blessing that would have been. But the thing about these four men is this. They weren't afraid of being identified with Paul. You know, when you stop and think about it, to be identified with the Apostle Paul very well could have adversely affected your reputation. Right? Sure. It very well could have. It was not necessarily to your advantage to say that you were good friends with the Apostle Paul. Sometimes if you said you knew Paul, you might have to duck. You know? Yeah. Or you might have to defend yourself. But the thing about these four men is this. They were not afraid. They were not ashamed to keep company with Paul. They would rather keep a good friendship with Paul than to have a good reputation among the citizens of the world. And I don't know about you, but I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Not ashamed of it. And you shouldn't be either. All right, so the first word, associates. But then a second word comes to mind, and that's the word assistant. Assistant. They were associates, but they were also assistants. In other words, a fellow laborer is an assistant to that laborer. And that's what Paul was saying of these men. These four not only cared about the Apostle Paul, but they assisted him in the ministry that the Lord had given to him. I do not know the arrangements that Paul had for preaching and teaching the gospel when he was in prison. I don't know how that worked. I can imagine that maybe Paul told these four men, I'm going to preach at such and such an hour tomorrow, so you fellas go around the neighborhood and invite folks and get a good crowd out to hear the message tomorrow afternoon. I don't know if that's how it went down, but I do know this, Paul was in prison. He couldn't go out and round up a crowd. He couldn't go out and invite folks to come. But yet we know from not only the Bible, but we also know from secular history, Josephus And some of those historians, they wrote about Paul. Josephus said that he saw the Apostle Paul before he was arrested, and that he was pointed out to Josephus, and Josephus said that that you would never in your wildest dreams have ever thought that that was the Apostle Paul. He was bent over. He was all bent over. You remember he was stoned and left for dead. You remember that, right? Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure that he bounced up out of there and, you know, everything was hunky-dory. I know the older you get, every morning, it's a surprise to look in the mirror. You see something that you did not see the day before. There's been a many a times I've stood there and go, what in the world is that? And that came up overnight. You know, how'd that get there so big, so fast? Well, listen, Paul had a rough life. You go back and read in 2 Corinthians and you'll find out he was beaten with rods. You'll find out he was whipped with a cat of nine tails. You'll find out that that he was shipwrecked and spent 3 days and three nights floating out in the Mediterranean Sea. I mean, it was a rough go for Paul. And Josephus said when he saw him, here was this little hunched over man who could barely put one foot in front of the other. And now he's an old man and he's in prison. And they said that he moved a table, got up on that table, and that put him at eyeball length so he could look out the one little window that was in his cell. And that the people would gather in the courtyard to hear him preach on a daily basis, sometimes several times a day. And Paul would preach and give an invitation. Wait a minute, folks. Somebody's got to be out there to do some personal work. Somebody's got to be. Now, think about this. Why was Paul in prison? For preaching the gospel. And now here he is in prison, still preaching the gospel. And here are men, fellow laborers, and what are they doing? They're helping him preach the gospel. Isn't that amazing? You say, well, Pastor, don't you think they were afraid of getting arrested? Probably. Don't you think they would have been afraid of the guards coming and grabbing them around the nape of the neck and carrying them and throwing them in a cell? Very well could have been. But they just kept going. They did not stop. You see, these men absolutely were associates and assistants to the Apostle Paul. I know that Paul was a prisoner, but he needed some assistance. So these four were dedicated helpers who did their best to assist the Apostle Paul in his ministry. You see, folks, somebody had to do the soul winning work. Somebody had to pray with folks who needed assistance. Somebody had to take it upon themselves to disciple these folks that got saved. Well, praise the Lord for willing associates. And you know, not only are these men up here associates to the ministry here, but so are each and every one of you. All right? We cannot depend upon a paid pastor to win this community to Christ. All right? We all have to get involved. Second thing, real quick. Second thing, I want you to notice the workers. All right? First thing we saw was the work. And that's the work of the ministry. But now, secondly, I want you to notice with me the workers. Now, by this, I am saying that I want to take a little bit closer look at these men and understand that these four men were not, they were not superheroes, all right? They did not wear a Superman cape, you know. They were just ordinary people. They were like you. They were like me. Just ordinary people. The workers. Notice. Look at your Bible. Marcus, verse 24. Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, and Lucas. Paul said, my fellow laborers. Who were these men? Do we have any way to look back and see if we can figure out who these men were? Well, believe it or not, yes, we have a few hints here and there that can help us figure out who these men were. So let's look at them and see what we can glean from the Word of God. First of all, let's begin with the man whom I'm going to call the prodigal. The prodigal. I say that he was a prodigal because this prodigal is none other than Mark. Mark, look at your Bible. Paul says in verse 24, Marcus. Who is Marcus? Well, that's Mark. You say, Mark, isn't there a book in the Bible, one of the Gospels, called Mark? Yes, same guy, same fella, Marcus. And he was a fellow laborer, a fellow worker, an associate of the Apostle Paul. All right, so the prodigal, he is called by Paul and by Luke as simply Mark. Mark. Now, who was this fellow? All right, so hold your place here and go back to the book of Acts for just a moment, to chapter 13. And let's find out who this Mark is. All right, the book of Acts and chapter 13. And look down, please, at verse 13. Verse 13 says, now when Paul and his, what's the next word? Company, so associates, his assistants. So when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia. And John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. All right, now who's John? That's John Mark. That's his full name, John Mark. All right, so they're in Pamphylia, and John departed. You say, well, why'd he leave? He got homesick. He got homesick. And so things were getting a little heavy here in this 13th chapter. And he wanted to go home. He got homesick. He missed Mama's biscuits, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. But he left. All right. Now, turn over to chapter 15 for just a moment. Chapter 15, and go over towards the end of the chapter, and notice in verse 36, it says, and some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. All right, so Barnabas wanted to take John Mark with them. But now look at verse 38. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not out with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between Paul and Barnabas that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. All right, so Marcus was none other than John Mark, and he got homesick and went home, and then many months later, Paul said to Barnabas, all right, let's start over. We'll start over, and we'll visit all our churches. And Barnabas said, yep, good idea, and said, we need some help here. Let's get John Mark. Paul said, nope. He's already quit once. Not gonna risk it. But Barnabas said, I want to take him. And they got divided over it. And so now John Mark comes and goes with Barnabas, and Titus Silas is brought in, and Silas goes with the Apostle Paul. So notice here, folks, that when Barnabas wanted to take John Mark, Paul said, I don't think we should do that. So the prodigal, that's why I call him the prodigal, the reckless one, wandered away from serving the Lord. But here's the good thing about John Mark. He didn't stay down. All right, he left, but thank the Lord, he ended up coming back to serve again. He came back to serve again. So what should we glean from John Mark? Well, he teaches us that what counts isn't how many times you've been knocked down by the devil, but how many times after you're knocked down, you get back up again. You see, that's the most important part. I mean, we've been looking at the devil on Wednesday nights, and powers and principalities and all the rest that go along with it out of Ephesians 6. We all know that there is an enemy who is trying to keep us down. He knows our weaknesses. He knows how to get to us. And if he knocks you down, get back up. Get back up. I tell you, folks start having trouble, and the first thing they do is, well, I need to quit church. No. That's not your answer. But yet, that's what we do, isn't it? You see, his failure at Perga in Pamphylia was a black mark on his life. And he had, at least in Paul's eyes, to prove himself. But thank the Lord, he did. And he came back. Now here's an interesting thing. All right. Go over to the last book that Paul penned before his death. Look over at 2 Timothy. All right. 2 Timothy. And notice chapter 4. Second Timothy chapter 4 and verse 9. 2 Timothy 4, 9. All right, here we go. Do thy diligence, and he's writing to Timothy here, and says, Timothy, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me. Now, this is the same Demas that's mentioned in our text verse. So Demas was gone. Why'd he leave? Same reason oodles leave. Love this present world. And is departed unto the big city, to Thessalonica. Read on. Crescens to Galatia. So Crescens left him too. Titus unto Dalmatia. Titus left him too. Now look at this. Only Lucas, he's in our text. Only Luke is with me. Now watch. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me in the ministry. Now folks, let me ask you a question. Why did Paul say in his last days he's going to be executed shortly? And why did he say to Timothy, you get John Mark and you bring him, he is profitable to me in the ministry? Why did he say that? I'll tell you why. Because when the devil knocked John Mark down, John Mark didn't stay knocked out. He got up and he pressed on. And now he has a testimony. Now he has proven himself. And he says, you get John Mark and bring him. So there's Mark. There's Mark. Second man. Back to our text verse in Philemon 24. Second man is the man I'm going to call the pauper, Demas. Demas. Demas will always be remembered as the man who deserted the Apostle Paul. I mean, no self-respecting man would even name his dog Demas. Yeah. I had a friend, and he heard a chapel speaker say one time, we went to school together, and he heard one of the chapel speakers say that you wouldn't even name your dog Ahab. And so his wife went out and got this little hair thing, just looked like someone zapped it with electricity and hair went everywhere. And I said, what's his name? Ahab. All right, so I know one of you going to run out and get a dog. You're going to name it Demas. I know you are. Well, he'll run off from you. So I don't know if that's a good idea. But you'll remember just a moment ago, Demas hath forsaken me. Why did he desert the Apostle Paul? Because he loved this present world. You see, Demas was a fool to leave Paul's side and flee to the world. But as we all know, the world is full of people like Demas. Yeah. So we have the pauper. Notice Aristarchus. Aristarchus I'm going to call him the partner. Nothing negative about Aristarchus. He was on the shipwreck, you remember, in Acts 27. His name is there on the shipwreck where everyone else almost lost their lives. Well, there's Aristarchus, and he was called a fellow prisoner. So not only was he a companion, but he was also a fellow prisoner with Paul. And then lastly, we have in verse 24, Lucas. Lucas. Who is Lucas? Well, he is none other than the beloved physician, Luke, the same man who gave us the gospel of Luke, who also wrote the chronology of the history of the New Testament church in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. All right, the book of Acts. You will remember, I'm sure you've turned away from it, but 2 Timothy 4, 9 through 11, here's an amazing contrast. We have Demas hath forsaken me, and then in the next verse, only Luke is with me. Only Luke is with me. Can you not see a sharp contrast between Demas and Luke? Demas, the pauper. Lucas, the physician. What a man he must have been. Only Luke is with me. Demas, the deserter. Luke, the dedicated. And he was dedicated to the end, side by side with the Apostle Paul. Folks, I suppose that we are always going to have our Demases, aren't we? I suppose we are. Grieves my soul, but I suppose we are. I suppose every pastor has had those who were fellow workers, fellow laborers. I'm talking about folks that were side by side in the work of the ministry. That's kind of sad the way 2 Timothy 4 is worded, though, isn't it? Hey, Timothy, please come shortly. Why? Well, Demas has forsaken me, and Crescens has left me too. He went to Galatia, and Titus, he left too. He's in Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Thank God for folks that will stand, and even when things are rough, they stay true to who they are. Thank God for those Christians. How many servants have been deceived and ruined by Satan's evil attacks? Could you imagine how many former servants and fellow laborers have been ruined and destroyed by the devil? Once they were all in, serving the Lord, faithful, growing, but then, boom. The devil lays wait, and here they come, and as unsuspecting as anything, they're hit between the eyes with a fiery dart, and down they go. As Paul said to the church at Galatia, he said, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth?" I would love to write a letter and send it to the thousands of people in our database and ask them this same question. Who hath bewitched you? Well, we all know the answer to that question, don't we? Yeah. Let's bow for prayer. Four companions. Father in heaven, thank you for your word, and I pray you'll bless what's been said here today. I pray you'll help us to examine our hearts. Where are we? Where are we in our stand for you? Are we those fellow laborers. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, please, and no one looking around, I wonder how many will say, Pastor, pray for me. God's working in my heart right now. I don't know what was said or how the Lord might be working, but you'll be willing to raise your hand and say, Pastor, God's working on my heart right now. God's done something in my heart, and I want you to pray for me. Would you lift your hand up and let's pray together about that? Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Many, many hands. God bless all of you. God bless you, folks. Amen. Thank you. May put your hands down. Let me ask one more question. Is there anybody here today who would say, Pastor, I'm not 100% sure that I'm saved and on my way to heaven. Please pray for me. Would you lift your hand and let me pray and ask God to help you? Yes, thank you, sir. You may put your hand down. Anybody else? Anyone else? Pastor, pray for me. I'm just not sure. All right. So, Father, you see our hands, and our hands represent our hearts. And so I pray that you will draw each one of us into a closer walk of fellowship with you. I pray that you'll be with the one who said, I'm not sure I'm saved. May today be the day that they get this settled in their hearts. And Lord, just do your office work in our midst here this morning and draw us to you as only you can. Father, you know how you've spoken to our hearts and why. And I pray now that we'll be submissive to you and just make a decision that will last and that will be a sure decision of obedience to follow your word. So be with us now as we give an invitation. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.